For those of you who are new for these past months, and we've been looking at a very old text and body of teaching and practice in the Buddhist tradition called the Mind Trainings. They really go back, early on in India, going back to the time of the Buddha and great teachers on the Bodhisattva path. And these many teachings in Buddhism were reduced to 50-something very pithy one-sentence slogans that people could memorize and to practice and then utilize in their life. And so we have been in our community over these past months kind of studying and practicing them. We have an intensive of close to 70 people who are practicing them. And plus, in many of these Sunday talks, we have been, and in retreat, giving commentary on them. So I wanted to do one today that could be a little difficult for some. But let me just in review, for those who are new, what we have already done, and I believe all of these are on our website in recorded talks. So these are the 7 points of mind training, this text is called. And first, the first section is called the preliminaries, which teaches support for Dharma, which is support for the practice. And the first slogan is first train in the preliminaries. I'm not going to go into it, but there are Dharma talks on that. The second point of mind training is actual practice training in bodhicitta, which means training and cultivating this awakened mind. And then there are two sections, which is called ultimate bodhicitta and relative bodhicitta, conditioned, the unconditioned, relative, the absolute. The actual practice for training bodhicitta in ultimate, and these slogans, again, we've commented on, regard all phenomena as dreams, examine the nature of unborn awareness, even the remedy is free to subside naturally, rest in the nature of all, the basis of everything, in post-meditation practice, be a child of illusion. If that doesn't make any sense to you, that's fine. That's why we have commentaries. Then in the relative bodhicitta, the slogans are train in taking and sending alternately, put them on the breath, three objects, three poisons, three seeds of virtue, use sayings to train in all forms of activity, and begin the sequence of exchange with yourself. This is the very profound practice of what's in Tibetan is called Tonglen, or the exchanging of self and other. It is a very simple but very profound practice to break down the separation that we feel from each other, to break out of this world of self-centeredness, and to really open up to the world of feeling responsible and knowing how to transform the suffering of others and not just be so self-concerned. The third point is called the transformation of adverse conditions into the path of awakenings. When evil fills the world and its inhabitants, change adverse conditions into the path of awakening. So this is a very important point of these training, which is adversity is not an obstacle to our transformation. Adversity can be the path of transformation. And there are slogans then to deal with that. At the relative level, drive all blame into one. Next one is be grateful to everyone and everything. And what I wanted to talk, and again, there are talks on the on our community's website on each of those slogans, but also nowadays, this is a very, very popular text within Buddhism. There are many good commentaries that you can read, books that you can buy with commentaries. So the one I wanted, the next one that I wanted to deal with today is at the ultimate bodhicitta level. Ultimate means this is deep stuff. ultimate meaning this is not apparent. It's not apparent to us. We have to look more deeply into life that things may not be as they appear. So this slogan reads, to see confusion as the four kayas, the protection of emptiness is unsurpassable. So this is a bunch of deep stuff in one sentence. Okay? So everybody know what confusion is. We'll begin there. Anybody want to give a definition of confusion? What is confusion? What does it mean to be confused? What? Lack of clarity? Flip-floppy is another way of putting it. Uncertain. We're confused. Is it this? Is it that? Are things real? Are things not real? Are things important? Are things not important? Should I do this or should I do that? Or, when our minds are covered with emotional affliction of anger, resentment, or fear, or worry, or sadness, or despair, or all these things, our mind is confused. It can't see clearly, can it? It is covered by emotionality. As well, it often doesn't have a clarity or preciseness to really see clearly, what is this? Is this something good for me or something bad for me? Should I do this? Should I do that? What's the right path? Right? I'm confused. Everybody know what confusion is? And most people would think, what? Confusion is not something you want to cultivate, is it? It's something you would say, I want to get rid of confusion. Something negative. So, the line is to see confusion as the four kayas. So this is very very paradoxical. The four kayas, kaya is a Sanskrit word meaning body, and kayas refer here to the four bodies of the Buddha. Right? The four bodies of the Buddha. And one would think to see confusion as the four bodies of the Buddha, right? What is he talking about? Right? Because we would say what? The mind of confusion is here. The mind of the Buddha, it's on the continuum. It's like miles apart. And yet this slogan is saying to see confusion as the four kayas, the protection of emptiness is unsurpassable. So let us spend a few moments taking this apart. And I realize for people who are new to Buddhism or new here, this may seem a lot of gobbledygook. But even people who have been practicing a while, these are some of the deepest concepts of Buddhism. And yet, Buddhism is a teaching which in other traditions may be esoteric, kind of hidden or secret. In Buddhism, these are exoteric. These are taught openly. There's no secrets here about the way things really are, trying to wake us up. So, to see confusion as the four bodies of Buddha, the protection of emptiness is unsurpassable. Now, emptiness is another one of those key words that are unique to Buddhism. The Sanskrit is shunyata. Now, the problem with the translation of shunyata as emptiness is when we think of emptiness, we think of like this, right? Like empty space. And we would go, well, I mean, how can this be empty? It looks solid. Or how could this be empty? Looks like a solid thing, right? So we go, so it's not that kind of emptiness. Okay, it's important that we understand that the word shunyata, emptiness, refers to that things are empty of a permanent self-existence. Another way of saying that is everything is just made up of parts. Right? So this watch that appears to be a watch, right? If we took it apart and laid out all the parts, is there a part called a watch? No. Right? Is that clear? Right? We would have lots of parts that when you put them all together in a certain way, we call this a watch. And we would say, oh, this is a thing called a watch. But Buddhist teaching tells us it appears to be a solid thing called a watch, right? But when you take it apart into all its parts, there's no such thing as a watch in any permanent self-existent way, right? It's just a bunch of parts that have come together in a certain way, right? And now that works, now it's together. But if I drop it or broke it or step on it or, you know, put all its parts out, you would not come in and say, oh, look at the watch, right? You would say, oh, you'd say, oh, look at the parts of a watch. But there's no such part, one special part that's called a watch. Is that clear? So that's what it's getting at. Now, why is that important? Why is this concept of emptiness, that nothing is self-existent, so important? We might say the biggest thing that it relates to is ourselves, right? Because if you think about all your emotionality, all your mind states, most of them are based on a sense of what? A me. I'm real. The me, the I, in this case the Fred, is a real thing, right? And everybody else is real too. And so we're always living in this world of I'm real, you're real, everything's real, my thoughts are real, my memories are real, everything is very solid and real. And therefore I take it how? Very seriously. Right? This is serious stuff. The world of me. My needs, my wants, my desires, my history, my frustration, my dreams. I mean, it's all like paramount, isn't it, to us? But what if these things that we consider our permanent self were not really that way? What if thoughts, which pull us around by our nose, were really empty? Were like bubbles, had no substance in any real way. How might we change our relationship to our thoughts that now lead us around? What if we saw our emotional life and emotions as empty of any solidity? Like they're like clouds. They form and unform. They arise and they disappear. Thoughts arise and disappear. In Buddhism, they say like a bubble, like an echo, like a rainbow, like an illusion, right? Things appear. An illusion is something that appears real, but upon investigation, there's nothing really there, is there? The rainbow appears real, right? But you can find no thing called a rainbow, can you? Last night's dream, when you were in it, it appeared real. And yet as soon as you woke up, you realized what? It was just a dream. Gee, when I was in it, everything seemed very real, didn't it? Gee, if I had known it was a dream, I might not have gotten so upset, or I might have done things differently. If I knew things were dreamlike, not solid, permanent things. So this emptiness of solidity, of permanence, of self-existence, not only changes our relationship to the self and others, right, but also changes our relationship to things. Because one knows that this thing we call the watch is just something that's made up of parts. And when those parts come together in a way, it functions as a watch. And when those parts begin to fall apart, the watch begins to change, doesn't it? I understand that this vase, if it's dropped, will break. It's just made up of clay, fired clay that was fired in a kiln. It's not a real self-existent thing, is it? Right? Right now, we call this what? A little vase. If I drop it on the floor, we'd call it what? Junk. Sweep it up. I mean, what's the difference, right? Here, it's something we cling to and we precious, but if it breaks us on the floor, it's like, yeah, let's sweep it up and throw it out. Put it in the garbage. Well, what's changed? Right? When it's all together like this, we value it, but when we take it apart into its parts, we don't value it. But it's still really essentially the same thing. We thought, right? We thought when we look at it that this was a real self-existent thing and would always be here. And then when it breaks, we are reminded what? That that's not the way it is it? Things are just made up of parts. They come together according to causes and conditions. And when causes and conditions change, things change. Why? Because there's nothing permanent. There was a time when none of us were here. We can't remember that time, right? But there was a time on this world when none of us were here, right? And then, an egg and a sperm got together one day. All of a sudden we began to take form. And now we have the form we all have today. And we think what? We look around the room and we think we're all solid, permanent things. But that's not true, right? This one here is called MT, right here in the front row, right? But if we took MT apart, just like we took this watch apart, we would see what? Just parts. Hundreds, thousands of parts. But we wouldn't find one part called MT, would we? Why not? Because there's no such real, permanent. Again, when Buddhists say real, they mean permanent. There's no such real, permanent thing as MT. It's just a bunch of parts that have come together. Somebody said, we'll call it MT. That's all. Wasn't even her choice. Somebody else gave her the name. And one day those parts, like this watch, like this vase, will no longer be here. Isn't that true? Why is that? Why is there birth and death? Because everything is empty and just made up of parts that come together because of causes and conditions and eventually will break apart. Everything breaks apart, right? Bodies break apart. Things break apart. Worlds break apart. Worlds come into being, and worlds exist, and then worlds disappear according to causes and conditions. That is because of emptiness. Emptiness meaning, again, there's no permanent solid thing called the earth. The earth came together because of causes and conditions. When those causes and conditions change, the earth will change. Right? Why is that? Because there's essentially no such thing as the earth. There's just causes and conditions that have created on a physical level and a chemical level and a biological level have come together in a certain way. So everything is changing. Now, if you don't understand that, it's a very different world, isn't it? It's a world in which we hold on to things because we want them to stay permanent. We want mind states. We want relationships. We want our body. We want all kinds of things, other people, to stay permanent. When they're not that way, we get what? We get angry. We get resentful. We get scared. We get worried. We get sad. We get despairing. Right? Because we don't understand the empty nature of things. the empty nature of our mind. We take our thoughts, our feelings, our perceptions as some kind of permanent solid things. We take our stories about our past as some kind of solid things. And we fixate on them. Because we don't understand the empty nature. What is the empty nature of all experience? Like, let's just take this experience. See? This experience that we're all having right now. This is empty. Right? As soon as it occurs, it disappears. Is that clear? Every word that is being spoken, as soon as it's spoken, disappears. That is because words also are empty of any permanence. Right? Like, I'm not speaking words and they're not, you know, it's not like a cartoon or something where they're kind of out here. They just disappear. Every experience you've ever had in life, good ones, bad ones, happy ones, sad ones, easy ones, traumatic ones, where are they all? Anybody know where they all are? Take a guess. Anybody know where everything you've ever done is? Where they're gone. Right, they're gone. Right? That's why in Buddhism we teach do not ruminate at the past, about the past. Not because like it's a bad thing to do, but it's, you ruminate about something that doesn't exist anymore. It is gone. Now that's good news to some people. Right? Because if those experiences in the past were negative or afflictive or traumatic, you're very happy that they're gone, aren't you? On the other hand, if things seem better back then, you're unhappy that they're gone. But either way, they're both gone. Why are they gone? Because every moment of experience is empty of any solidity. There's nothing here, is there? Right? That moment when I talked about things 2 minutes ago being gone, that's gone. And now we have this moment. And then this moment is gone. Because everything is empty. People, situations, thoughts, feelings, perceptions. When we understand that, rather than the world, ourselves, others, rather than being this a field of confusion, a field of suffering, a field of emotional up and down, right? It becomes a field of beauty, a field of clarity, a field of wisdom. Field of compassion, because one sees clearly how things really are. Right? One can appreciate the rainbow, but one doesn't have to jump in its car and, you know, I got to get it. We're always trying to get things because we think they're real. We think if I get this raise, if I get this, if I get this friend, if I get this relationship, if I get this nice, if I get this, then I will be what? Happy, because I think these are real things, but they're just things. And they are not inherently have any meaning or value other than what we give them. So that is why, no matter how much we get, and now how often we get what we think we want, ultimately we are not satisfied. Ultimately we are not at peace. Because things cannot give that. It's the mind that can only give it. Right? Happiness is a state of mind. Everybody agree with me? Okay? Peace is a state of mind. Right? So why look outside ourselves for something that's already here? Can you see how we're going in the wrong direction? You know, if I get this, if I get him, if I get her, if I get that, then I will be at peace, I will be happy, I will, you know. And why does it never work? Because we're going in the wrong direction. Right? To see confusion as the four kayas, to see confusion as the four bodies of the Buddha. What does that mean? It means that this mind that is confused is the mind of the Buddha. Right? And when one sees clearly, the confusion will just disappear. It is the same mind. Right? You look up in the sky, the blue sky. It is blue, it is clear, it is spacious, right? The clouds roll in. Has the sky disappeared? No. But the clouds are covering it, right? You don't have to despair. You don't have to go somewhere, right? Just be aware that the clouds are arising in the sky. The clouds do not have an existence separate from the sky. Don't despair. Right? The confusion that arises in our mind is only temporarily covering the clarity of the mind. The misperception of things. The emotional coverings that we're always covering our mind with. Right? These are not foreign bodies. They are things that are just arising in one's mind, and with a turning about, one can immediately see there's nothing there. Such as, what is your name over here in the yellow shirt? Tom. See, Tom said he came in here with an agitated mind, and within 10 minutes it was peaceful. Now, why was that, Tom? Did you find it, you know, did you get a new mind in here?
A new mindset.
Well, it's the same mind. You just changed your relationship. Right? To see confusion as the four kayas, as the body of Buddha, is to understand that. Right? That the clarity and the luminosity and the ease and the transparency of the Buddha mind is our own mind and is always available to us. Right? The clouds go away, the blue sky is immediately revealed. It hadn't disappeared, had it? It was always there. The blue sky is always there, always here. The clarity and luminosity and ease of mind is always here. The Buddha mind is always here. But we are, you know, fixating on the clouds. So we don't see it. But as soon as we see it, everything is okay again. Right? So this is the protection of empty. To see the when one sees clearly that no matter how confused I am, anybody here ever been confused? Yeah. Are you still confused about what you were confused about? No, why not? Because that confusion, whatever it was that was confusing at the time, was empty of any solidity. It was just thoughts, right? Struggling within yourself, thoughts fighting with thoughts, emotions covering emotions. I mean, it's just our own little self-drama. None of it is real, in any real meaning. Again, in the dream seems real. Last night's dream, when we were dreaming, seemed real. But when we wake up, we realize what? It was just a dream. All your struggles of the past, all your confusions of the past, all your successes and failures of the past. The same dreamlike quality. They're gone. All the things you got stressed out about. Are you still stressed out about them? Why not? I mean, why not just keep it going? Because those stresses are not real. They're just mind-generated. Our confusions are just mind-generated. Our fixations are just mind-generated. Is that our confusions are just mind-generated, and they are being generated by the same mind that has the capacity of generating clarity, ease. It's not different minds. To see confusion, to see that in my confusion, the clarity is available to me right now. And if one practices meditation long enough, one will develop that ability to just drop things. To see clearly into things. Do thoughts have any substance? Take something else that we think we make a big deal about. You know, most people make a big deal about these things that go on in their mind. They're called thoughts, right? And one kind of thought arises and we're happy, and another kind of, you know, we're bad. You know, one kind of thought arises, we think our life is wonderful. 5 minutes later, another thought arises, we think our life is terrible. Right? We think this person's a good person, now we don't think they're a good person. We think we love them, now we think we hate them. I mean, you know, that's all just arising in the world of thoughts. Our thoughts are changing. But what is a thought? I mean, that's an interesting question, isn't it? What is a thought? Anybody ever look at a thought? You might be surprised that they are empty. There's nothing there. They're not solid, permanent things. Just think, if your thoughts were solid, permanent things, you would have a headache now. Right? If all your thoughts were solid, permanent thing that had self-existence, they would have always been there and will always be there now. Right? You'd never be able, you couldn't even get out of bed, your head would be so heavy. But thoughts are impermanent. They're not solid. Thoughts are like bubbles, are like echoes. They have a dreamlike quality. They just come and go. Like last night's dream. Like yesterday's drama that we were so concerned about. Where is it today? My concern of yesteryear, where is it? And why, if it is gone, is it gone? Because it is empty. The protection of emptiness, the protection of emptiness means the protection from suffering, the protection from misperception, the protection from egocentricity. This understanding of emptiness gives one all that. And one can be in the world with ease and understanding. So this is a profound slogan. To see confusion as the four kayas, the protection of emptiness, is unsurpassable. Any questions? Today's the family program, so the kids will be coming in soon. Any questions? Yes.
The Buddha mind is always present.
That's a statement or a question?
I think I heard you say that.
Oh, you're okay.
And
With what?
Does that have anything to do with permanence?
Does that have anything to do with permanence? As the Buddha mind is not a solid thing. What is your name?
Jim.
So if I said, Jim, do you have a mind? And Jim would say what?
Yes.
Okay. What does it look like, Jim? I mean, just look at your mind right now. I mean, this which is aware of me, that's your mind?
Yes.
Okay. Just take a second and just tell me what it looks like. When you look into that thing you call a mind, what do you see? Do you see anything?
I sense.
I'm not asking you what you sense. I mean, one might sense that the end of the world is imminent, but that doesn't mean it really is. But what, just in a real, very real way, when you look into that thing that you call your mind, do you see a thing called your mind? I'm not, well, no. This is, you are not on the witness stand, and this is, you know, I'm not trying to lead the witness, okay? Is that clear? I'm really asking you, not how you feel, because we feel and sense a lot of things. I'm saying to you, when you look into that mind that is talking to me and aware of me and see me right now, do you see something called a mind? Now, what do you see? Just look back there. What do you see? What do you see back there? Nothing. So a minute ago, Jim would say, if I say, yeah, does this seem to appear like a thing? Yeah, that's the way it appears. But when you look deeply or do an autopsy, you realize there's nothing here. There's just parts. And it's the same for everybody, right? There's no thing called MT. There's just a bunch of parts. Well, Andrew over there, I mean, don't take it personally. He's just a bunch of parts. You know, body and mind, thoughts, feelings, perceptions all come together, stories, and we kind of put it together and we say Andrew. But there's no such real thing called Andrew, because you come back here you come back here maybe tomorrow or in 5 years or 10 years, but pretty much by 40, 50 years, he won't be here. Right? You know, he won't be here. Why won't he be here? Because there's no permanent real thing called Andrew, is there? It's just a collection of parts. That's all we are. And now that might scare some people. That may disappoint some people. But that's the truth. It really should give you a great relief, because this self that I am so worried about and always advancing and defending, and wow. Well, I'm making a big deal about nothing. Why don't I just enjoy the moment as an alternative to the world of self and permanence? I see. We will stop here. The kids are here.